Thank you, Joy. If you have your Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19 this morning. Yeah, I don't know how we got all this sickness all piled on in one day, but maybe that's good. Next week we'll be all healed up. Do what? Oh, we were in Zianos, but no. Well, what did you guys eat? Salad. That's a good wholesome food. That's what we should have had. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. This is Jesus talking, of course. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where the moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Lord, be with us as we're here this morning. We do think of those that are have the COVID. We think of a couple that are in the hospital, actually, this morning. I pray, Father, you would work in their lives and help them to get strong and get over that. And we pray, Father, you touch their physical bodies. Be with the ones that are standing by and helping them. And Lord, for the ones that are home, suffering with at home, I pray, Father, that you be with those that are there as well, that they might get over this business as well. Be with us now as we look at your word. Open your word to us that our hearts might be open to your treasure and your truth. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In my Bible that I use at home, over this section, it has a title. And the title that it has is Possessions and Masters. So that's the reason why I put that down for the title of the sermon this morning. Verse 21, though, is key to laying up treasures. And Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And, you know, that's very, very true. Then he said over there in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other." Hate and love, those are pretty strong emotions, aren't they? Hate, they're really diametrically opposed. "Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." There's that diaclet there. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus is speaking about two masters, God and mammon. You might have expected Jesus to say you cannot serve both God and Satan. But that's not what he said, is it? Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon, money. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus is making it perfectly clear that money is not that's something that has no power. It does have power. In fact, money has a great power, especially if we're using it the wrong way. It can be used for good. To serve the Lord, and many, many times we read very interesting and powerful stories about things of that nature. But it can also be used in a bad way, and it turns out dominating our lives, and it almost becomes godlike. We worship it. I think that a big section of our society that we see on television and in the movies and all those kind of things, they're worshiping money. That's what they're doing. And as Americans, we do have a saying, though, that talks about what? The almighty dollar. So it's not something new. Money carries with it prestige and status and glamour. I always think sometimes when you see these commercials on television about some kind of a award show, I always think to myself, now why are we giving these people an award? They just made $52 million making a lousy movie that nobody watched, and now we're going to give an award. And then, of course, we have the girls come in dressed in all kinds of stuff. Sometimes they're not even dressed. But anyway, stuff like that, and men as well. And we all think, if I just had a little bit more money like Beyonce or something like that. What's that thing they got over at McDonald's anymore? Some kind of a sandwich or something. I don't know what it was. I don't know. I have no idea. But if we just were, you know, had a little bit more money, if we were just like them, all life would be wonderful. Listen, if that was the case, then these people would have wonderful lives. But they don't have wonderful lives. I meant to look that up as to how many people have committed suicide that held multiple millions of dollars. It did not satisfy. Matter of fact, it probably was a contributing factor to their depression. A wise American once said this about money: if you make money your God, it will plague you like the devil. I think that's kind of cool. So we need to dethrone the devil, don't we? Take him off the pedestal of our lives, break it down, let our minds and our hearts be free from that. Naturally, everybody knows the Bible says, doesn't it say money is the root of all evil? That's not what it says, is it? Yes, the love of money. Over in 1 Timothy, Timothy says, for the love of money, that's different, is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong. Money is actually neutral. Nothing wrong with money. It's how we use it and how it affects us and all those kind of things. Most people don't think that we should be bringing holy God into the discussion when we're talking about money. It's just so evil and so corrupting and all that. And it is strong and it's power and it's corrupting, most surely. They think money is tainted and you can't get around that. But as that old rhyme used to say, "Tain't yours, tain't mine, 'tis God's." We don't think about that, but everything is God's. It's on loan to us, even the wealth. Over in Psalms 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Everything is God's, so that means money too. The very air that you're breathing, God's that loaned you today. Yeah, the very strength that you got up with this morning to get over here, God loaned you that today. It's all his. Haggai 2:8 says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine." I know there's lots of commercials on television that tells us all about we need to put our, retirement or something like that in gold or silver. And I suppose it's supposed to be some kind of financial expert or something that says gold is going to reach new heights or something like that. Well, listen, all that is God's. Every bit of it, every ounce of it, every bit. Leviticus 25:23 says, "The land, moreover, shall you not sell permanently." Why? Because the Lord said, "It's mine. I'm letting you use it. It's on loan." And so don't get to be real graspy and clawy with it. It's mine. And you are but strangers and sojourners, but this is the thing, with me. God goes with us. Everything is God. So I want you to think about that this morning in this respect to money. Look, God is God, and it's all his. The universe, the earth, the fish, the sky, the blues, the fishes, everything. The air you're breathing right now, if God would take it back, you'd be in a big problem. Genesis 1:28 says, God told Adam, man was created in God's image, wasn't he? God is a three-part being. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are a three-part being. Body, soul, and spirit. We're created in God's image. And he told Adam to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and then subdue it. You've got to bring it under subjection and have dominion. You can have dominion over the fish, the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. We're supposed to be God's stewards of everything that there is. He's put it in our hands, everything. Were we to be God's stewards and be faithful in that, then we would see good things happening. Unfortunately, we don't often manage what God gives us. And so the world's in a mess. The owner has rights, doesn't he? The manager, however, has what? Responsibilities. We have responsibilities as to how we do things. Every spending decision is actually, in part, a spiritual decision. Someone has said, "Show me your checkbook, and I'll tell you exactly what you're interested in." That's true, isn't it? It's true. Once we understand the real role of money, though, well, then we realize that money is truly neutral. It's just a tool. it's a tool that we can use for good or evil. It can overpower us, and we can get desperately entangled with it. But it has not the power to do that. We allow it to do that. Proverbs 3 says, how honor the Lord with your substance, and when the first fruits of the increase, so that thy barns will be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. So God is expecting us to use the things that he gives to us in a way that's honoring to him and also being a good steward. In John's wonderful gospel, read about a little boy, don't we? And Jesus is teaching. And it's over there in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And we read that there's all these folks there. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that there were 5,000 men. Well, if there were 5,000 men, there's probably 10,000 other people there. That's a good group. That's a good group. They all came what? To hear Jesus. They all came. And Jesus said, listen, let's feed these folks so we can go on. And of course, he got the response back. We don't have enough to do anything with this. It's impossible to feed these people. And we call that the miracle of 5,000, don't we? And it is a miracle. But yet, that great crowd that followed Jesus, the scripture tells us, was about 5,000 men. Plus, Jesus took the fish and the bread from a little boy and blessed it. The disciples passed it out, didn't he? And they fed everyone. And they all had enough. And then they gathered up just to make it perfectly clear to us who's in charge. And then they gathered up what? 12 baskets full of leftovers. That's some multiplication going on there. That's for sure. But here's the lesson that we often forget in that. Jesus multiplied that offering. I don't know, but I know it's true that God multiplies what you do. What you give, he multiplies. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Hear me. God Almighty multiplies what we're giving, and he wants us to be cheerful givers. Sometimes, I remember years and years ago, a guy was telling me something about that he had $10,000 he wanted to give to the church. And I thought, well, that's fine. Go ahead and give it. But he told me that two or three times. You know why he was telling me that? Because every time I would say, well, go ahead and give it to the church. He didn't want to just give it to the church. What did he want to do? He wanted to be spent on this, 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 another thing. He had a whole list of stuff that if he gave the $10,000, that's what he wanted to spend on. Now, there's nothing inordinately wrong with that, but I think to myself, if you're going to give $10,000, give $10,000 and trust the Lord that he's going to do all that he's supposed to do with that. Remember over there in Mark chapter 12, Jesus sat in the temple watching what the people were doing in the temple as they gave their offering. Remember? And the scripture says that many rich came and cast much into the offering. Now, you have to get a picture a little bit of the temple, for example. There was a place in the temple for a lot of different things, but there was a place for offerings. And they actually had, I would call them brass horns, like a trumpet or a saxophone. And when you went up there, you took your offering and you put it in there. And of course, if you put your offering in there, and if you put many coins, guess what it did? So everybody sitting around said, Lori sure gave a lot of money this morning. Yes, sir. I'm glad she did. You know? But Taylor comes up and he goes, tink, tink, tink. And then we all thought, well, Taylor, didn't give much this morning, brother. I don't know what's wrong with you. Probably that Datsun 280Z is running up the bill on you or something like that. Well, actually, Jesus said the most remarkable thing, didn't he? He said, this woman, the dink, 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 this widow has given more. Her two mites was more than all these other people have given together. Now, that is a different mindset, isn't it? Why do you think they had those brass horns there to begin with? Part of it was just for that. Bling, 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 bling. That's part of it. That's part of it. Yeah, I'll give you $10,000 if we spend it on this particular thing or that particular thing. And I told him, I said, well, we'd be glad to have the offering, but you got to give it. And it's hands off. Goes into the offering, and whatever the church decides to do with that, they will do, and we should thank the Lord for it. You know what? He talked about that for over 5 years, off and on, off and on. Now, I don't know what's given. I don't know what anybody gives or anything like that. But I almost can guarantee you, because I never saw it reflected in the budget in any way, $10,000. So you know, guess what I think? Now, I may be wrong. I don't think he ever got around to giving it, because he wanted it to go to his pet peeves, his pet projects. He wanted that to go there. And when I told him he just had to give it, he wasn't willing to do that. The rich cast in a lot of stuff. The poor widow, two mites. Jesus said she's given more than all these guys combined. For they gave out of their what? Abundance. But she has given all that she had. You know, and there is a difference, isn't it? A big difference. Money is always a means. It's never an end. But we like to make it the ends. But it's always a means. Jesus said what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think what he's saying basically is this. You know, follow the Lord, do what the Lord says. Don't worry about these things. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. And he will. There is a greater power than money. And that power is found in giving that's given unto the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9:7. 1 Timothy says, for godliness with contentment is great gain. If we can come to the place of putting our offering in the offering and just, that's it, that's all. Here, Lord, take care of it. We're trusting God, aren't we? Trusting God. Jesus said over in Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. I think many, many times that we get involved in that. I know that if there are any icons in my life, and there are many, I know that I love old cars. You know, if this parking lot out here had a bunch of 57 Chevys and some Mustangs and whatever, you know, I would not be racing off this morning. I'd be over there looking at them. I'd be saying, oh, wow, look at that. Whose car is that? Oh, it's Taylor's. He loves 57 Chevys. There it is. You know, wow, it's cool. Listen, it enamors us. It has to be a moderation there. I've told you about this before, but Alan Bale and myself and John Mann went up to see the Auburn, of course, Duesenberg car thing. And there's just tons of cars up there. And they're some are for sale and some are out in the parking lot for sale and all kinds of things like that. And we came across a 57 Chevy that had fuel injection on the side of it. And I knew a little bit in the sense that Chevy actually made a few of those. They were kind of race cars for NASCAR. And Alan Bale. And this had a mirror laying on the ground so that you could walk up and you could look in the mirror and see what was under it. See, so I'm not as dedicated, because I walked up, looked at the mirror and said, pretty cool, and went on. You know what Alan did? He rolled underneath that car. That mirror wasn't good enough. He wanted to see for himself. he was up there jiggling things. And I thought to myself, whoever owns this car is going to come and throw us out of this place. You know, I could just imagine he grabbed a tailpipe and it fell off or something. We'd be in big, big trouble. And John was saying, Alan, come on. I will, just a minute. I want to check this out. One more thing. Listen, anything can be an object of our affection that displaces God. Anything can be. And it shouldn't. And money shouldn't be. Giving helps clarify our purposes. If we really love the Lord and we want to see his work done, we're going to give to certain things. It doesn't have to be twisting an arm. We'll give to it. Giving produces a more loving heart. I think stinginess shrinks the heart. Giving opens it up. An open heart is a happy heart. And a happy heart makes a happy person. And I'm sure if we thought about it, we would recognize that the Lord takes care of us each and every day of our lives. And the things that we think we need, sometimes he provides every bit of it down to the most minute particle. And then sometimes there are the things that we think we need and we really want that particular thing and it doesn't happen. I don't know why. There's probably different reasons that's possible. But I think sometimes it's because if God would really give us that, we'd never be a joyful heart, because it would shrink our hearts down and we would be consumed by that one thing. Well, one last thought. Many people wrongly think that generosity is something God wants from us. But the great Apostle Paul told us about generosity is something that God wants for us. Do you get it? It's not something that God wants. It's something that God wants for us. Our janitor in Parkland Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, his name was Alonzo Meredith, and I've said it before, he was a godly man. His duties, I guess, by the way people would judge things, were menial. He cleaned the toilets. He mopped the floors. He did all that kind of stuff. And for a while there, he was sick or something. I can't remember exactly, but I became the janitor for a couple of weeks. Can you imagine that? So I started cleaning and doing things. And when Lonzo came back, he said, boy, oh boy, came back just in time. I thought he was going to say, and boy, Mike, you did a spectacular job. He said, you came back just in time. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you haven't been mopping in the floor around the men's urinal and stuff like that. He said, some guys don't hit the thing, you know. Wow. And you know, I probably shouldn't say this, but if you looked at the floor, you could tell it. So he had a bucket, and he put a little bit of bleach in there, and he mopped it. He said, okay, we're going to come back after we go through the whole church, and we're going to come back, and we're going to mop it one more time. Hopefully that stain will start coming out of it. And then we'll mop it again. And then he said, we're going to wax this floor. And I thought, good grief, Lonzo. I'll be here all day. I thought we were going to do this for 15 minutes, but we spent half of the day on this one commode, you know. But you know what? He looked at what he did as not simply something he was getting paid monthly by the church to do. He looked at that as being something he gave back to the church by doing a good job. That's a whole nother thing, isn't it? It's a whole nother thing. Most of the time we kind of fall in that first, whatever we're giving or whatever we're doing, we're hoping to get something back. But if we went the other way and we were giving and doing, not expecting anything other than a well done, good and faithful servant, things would be different, wouldn't they? They would be different. Well, listen, money is neutral. It's God's. It ain't yours. It ain't mine. 'Tis his. and we can use it, and he gives it to us. Sometimes I think he gives it to us as a test to see what we will do with it. And sometimes we pass the test, and sometimes we don't. But giving is something we can all participate in. The widow and her mite participated in the temple service in giving that day. And Jesus said she gave more than all the rest. It was her heart. Heavenly Father, help us to have joyful hearts in serving you. Let every aspect of our lives, whatever it might be, Father, whether it's our material possessions, some of the things that we can do and should do, abilities that you give us, some are teachers, some are keen minds, and they can point out the marvelous and the gold that's there in the scriptures. We need that too. Lord, we're the body of Christ. Everybody is necessary. There's not one part that's greater than the other. They're all necessary. Help us to recognize that. But Lord, we want to thank you today that in all these years, you have always provided for us here at Calvary. Thank you for that. You've been good to us. Pray, Father, that you would continue, that we might be able to minister and expand our tent, Lord, that we might be able to minister even in a greater way. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.